The views and opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of WGNS, its management, other hosts, or advertisers.
And they are the opinions of this radio host and my guest tonight, because I've got two of them right now. One of them, her husband's on his way up with, he went to go get me something to eat, bless his heart. And Carrie Lambert's been here before, but the other one you have not heard here before, but you've probably seen her around the country on television, wherever, Miss Nadine Strossen, former president of the ACLU. Miss Nadine, will you turn her mic on, please, Tiffany? Thank you. Tiffany's on the board. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to be
here. You just got here. Your flight was delayed, and
just in the nick of time. And in case not every member of your listening audience knows, ACLU stands for American Civil Liberties Union, defending all fundamental freedoms for everybody.
I agree. And, you know, Carrie, I don't know why I'm not a member of this.
I don't either.
Why aren't you?
It's very
cheap. I don't know.
It's only $20.
$20.
I'll be happy to collect
okay.
and sign you
yeah,
up.
Well, yeah, do. That's fine. You know, but I mean, I don't know why I am not a member. And I've got, it's one of those things, you know, get around to it. Well, when we get around to it, okay. But she is, well, Miss Nadine is going to be with us for the balance of the hour. I'm sure she's very tired. She's going to take your questions and your comments if you like. And we're going to talk about mostly tonight the First Amendment. And she is speaking tomorrow at MTSU. Remind me to make this announcement, Carrie, if you would. Miss Nadine, please. And we're going to open up right now. Miss Tiffany's on the board. But for right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymer, and yes, I am still a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your good neighbor station, News Radio, WGNS.
All right, and that's a little rock and roll to open it up for you. This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show, and I'm your host, Ed Raymer. And this show is produced right here at the studios of WGNS AM 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, you can reach us tonight and reach Miss Nadine or Carrie with your questions. Carrie's been in the press a little bit lately with your questions, comments, or ideas at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. And you can also send a text to my private line. It's right here. I don't mind you having it. All you got to do is Google me. Me and Miss Nadine were talking. If you're on Google anymore, everybody knows everything about you, so that's fine. 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Now, how can you listen to us? How can you watch? Many of you know. My wife listens. She's at home listening right now, probably on Alexa. She doesn't watch because she sees enough of me running around the house, so she don't need to do that. You can catch us on, Miss Tiffany, tell us, because you all know all this. YouTube Live, of course, Facebook Live, where all?
You can also reach us on Instagram.
Instagram.
I think you pretty much covered it. WGNSRadio.com.
And there is also a small, probably rectangular-shaped device in the dash of your car that is called a radio. For those of you, Miss Nadine and I are old enough to remember those, and I don't know if Carrie is or not, but we are.
I'll take that compliment.
Okay. Yeah. And that's called a radio, 1450 AM, and like I said, 100.5, 101.9. And you can also download the WGNS app and take WGNS with you wherever you go, listen whenever you wish, and listen to, I highly recommend, Miss Angela Bingham at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night. She just left here, Miss Nadine. You got to meet her, I believe.
Yes.
You know, she blessed you coming in. She's never prayed for me. she's prayed for my wife. She's prayed for everybody in my family. Well, yeah, but now she prays for me every once in a while. But she does a great job, doing a good job with a faith-based program, Simplicity. She has all types of guests, and she's a good gal. Take a listen to Jason Qualls with Financial Coaching Radio through the week. I listen to Jason 4 o'clock in the afternoons when his time permits. Now, glad to have you here. All that's done. Miss Nadine, how are you?
I'm excellent, and I am so happy to be here. Thank
well,
you
I'm
for
glad
hosting me.
Thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it. We could talk to you about a plethora of different things. You were president of the ACLU from
for 18 years.
18 years.
And I'm still on its National Advisory Council. And
right.
I've basically been a full-time crusader for free speech for the last 10 years.
Right.
Because I have seen that we are in a crisis of what I call illiberalism, in the sense of attacks on the classical liberal values of freedom of speech, freedom of thought, open inquiry, civil discourse.
Agreed.
And in fairness, the attacks come from all across the political spectrum. In some parts of the country, they are predominantly from one end of the spectrum, and other parts of the country, other. But, you know, those of us who have been defending free speech for a long time have a saying, which is that just about everybody believes in freedom of speech for me, but not for thee.
Exactly.
And they just disagree about what ideas they consider to be so dangerous and so harmful and so offensive that we have to protect people against them.
Right. Yeah. We have a situation, I'm sure, that Carrie and Frank have told you about right here. I went last night and looked at the folks. I want you to know, I'm in a room with two cold-blooded ladies. I mean, they are bundled up like, well, three. There are three, yeah. Tiffany's got all her gear on, too. Feels pretty good in here to me. Of course, when you have all this extra padding that nature gave you, and a few ribeye steaks and pizzas, that helps, too. But we are, seriously, we have six more books removed. Carrie?
Yes.
How many books have been pulled off the shelves now? And weren't some put back on? I don't even know where we are right now.
No. No books have been returned to the shelves, and I believe the total is at 36 right now that we are aware of, and the vast majority, if not all, came from one board member. Parents are limited to challenging one book at a time for a maximum of 5 a year. But they have found a go-around to get a board member to just pull
now,
the books.
May I ask, are these books pulled only for children, or are they pulled for adults as well?
At the moment, we're speaking about the school libraries, but we also have issues at our public library. The main focus has been on youth literature and children's books so far.
Well, you're lucky, because in many towns and localities around the country, public libraries are having books massively removed using the
public
same...
Public libraries?
Yes. So adults
as well.
Oh, we
have
well
lost
see,
libraries.
I was not aware of the public library.
Yeah, Toni Morrison's book, I believe, was challenged at the public library. Well, Beloved came off at the school. I think it might have been The Bluest Eye at... the public library, but we have had books removed at the public library. It's slowed down a little bit at the moment, but they're also short some board members, and
right.
we don't have a director of library. Like, things are sort of in turmoil at the moment.
Sure. Oh, yeah, they're in turmoil, all right.
So
yes, ma'am.
It's not as bad. Today, it is not as bad at the public library as it is at the school board, but it's not over. At the public library.
I want to ask you one thing. I heard one of the guys with his sermonette that he gave the other night. I watched this Miss Nadine last night. They put it on YouTube. And you had your meeting Thursday night. Is that for me? Okay, hold on. Caller, I'll be right with you. The comments and the quotes that they gave. I'm talking about the people, you know, wanting to take these books out. Are they accurate? Are they true? Because some of them I find a little hard to be, because there's so many words get twisted.
Yeah, I wasn't keeping track if they were doing direct quotes or not. They probably were. The issue is that they are taking these things out of context. And when you're determining if a material needs to be pulled for obscenity, you have to take the work as a whole. So that means from the front cover to the back cover,
right.
everything that's in
right.
it. The easiest way to explain it is using the Bible as an example. And I do not want the Bible banned. I don't think anyone should challenge the Bible. I'm just using this as an example to try to explain it, because it's something a lot of people can understand. If you cherry pick certain passages from the Bible, it's worse than a lot of the books that they remove from our school system. If you cherry pick them. But most people agree that if you take the work as a whole, that book has value. And
sure.
so that's why
sure.
we need to have access to it. And our argument is, I understand the Bible's important to you, so you're not challenging it, but this, these other books are important to other people, and they shouldn't be challenged as well. They need to be taken as a whole. I mean, when they're reading about the horrors of slavery and how a woman is being raped because she is a Black woman, yeah, it's violent, it's graphic, it's upsetting. It's also a very small portion of the book.
And sure. In addition, when you look at the overall context, part of it is, what is the message? It's not to depict the horrors of slavery, is not to get people to support slavery, but
exactly.
to raise their consciousness about how terrible the system was and why we must redouble our efforts to extirpate the remaining ravages of that system.
Understood. Ladies, we have a caller on the line, Miss Tiffany, if you will. Caller, please go ahead. Hello, caller, are you there? I guess they hung up. Are you sure? Call back, please, caller, if you would, because we can't find you. They hung up. Okay, that's fine.
May I say something about the excellent point that Carrie made about passages not being taken out of context? What she's referring to is the legal standard that the United States Supreme Court laid down in 1973 to justify removing a book or another creative work from protection of the First Amendment as illegal obscenity, and to be excluded on that rationale,
right.
The work has to satisfy three criteria, and one of which is that the work taken as a whole, considered according to contemporary community values. So you can't, you know, look at some archaic values. You have to look at current values, which in most communities are becoming more and more tolerant over time, is patently offensive. And number two, that it appeals to the prurient interest in sex, which the Supreme Court has defined as a sick or morbid interest in sex, as opposed to a healthy or normal interest in sex. And third, even if both of those were satisfied, which we'll assume for the sake of argument, it's still not going to be obscene unless the work taken as a whole lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value according to national standards. Because there the court said, we're not going to dumb down what school kids or adults are allowed to read according to the standards of the least tolerant community in the nation. We have to look at the overall standards throughout the country. And for that reason, it's almost impossible for a prosecutor to successfully challenge a work today as obscene.
Okay.
I was reading that I believe it was Justice Brennan. I'm looking at Nadine, hoping I'm right. He worked on trying to define obscenity for a long time, so he came up with the Miller test. And at one point, I believe it was him that he said something like
Potter Stewart, but
Potter Stewart. Okay,
yeah, that's okay.
See, she's much smarter than I am.
No, it's not smart. It's
but just... They said that even most pornography wouldn't meet the bar that the Miller test puts out. Because if you're watching a porno and it's a, I don't know, pizza delivery guy delivering a pizza or whatever, because there's a plot and a story, that it would actually not meet the bar of the Miller test. So that is how extreme the bar is for the Miller test. So to remove materials because it mentions sex is not...
And Brennan, he was the justice who first created the concept of illegal obscenity. It's not in the First Amendment itself. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. And it doesn't say unless the speech is about sex. And it wasn't until 1956, in a case called Roth, that Justice Brennan created, you know, a completely judge-created exception to the First Amendment. And even in that case, he said, sex, a great and mysterious motive force in human life, has been of abiding interest to mankind throughout the ages. So therefore, the vast majority of expression about sex is right. constitutionally protected. I'm sorry, Carrie, I jumped the gun because I thought you were going to quote what most people think of when they, if they know one thing that the Supreme Court has said about what constitutes illegal obscenity. It's a line from Justice Potter Stewart when he said, "I cannot define it, but I know it when I see it."
Our and current people, mm-hmm. there are people yeah. here that yeah. still use that line when the decency ordinance went yeah. through. They're like, "Well, what is decency or what's obscene?" Yeah. And our leaders actually said the words, "I can't define it, but I know it when I see it."
And that is so ironic because everybody sees a different it.
Everyone. That's mm-hmm. what, and that, Nadine, is exactly what we're facing right here in Rutherford County. And, you know, but we'll leave it at that. We're going to take our first break if we can, Miss Tiffany. And we're going to come back. And by the way, that's, of course, abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Mm-hmm. I'm a member of the press. You're going to hear some free speech when I come back, so get ready. If you think Carlin was bad, stick around. Back with you right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry, if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
When someone is brought to the ED having overdosed, the clock is ticking to identify what substance they've used and then attempt to reverse it. Johns Hopkins substance use disorder expert Eric Strain says that's why the new street opioid adulterant, nitazine, is potentially quite a problem.
There are test strips that you can use to detect nitazines, commercial ones, but I think more tellingly is that somebody's probably going to use something that they think is either heroin or fentanyl, and it's got a nitazine in it because there's a bunch of different nitazines. Because it's so potent, they could overdose on that easily. They could have respiratory depression. Then what you would typically do is give naloxone, but you're going to have to give a lot more naloxone to reverse that effect.
Strain says nitazines are up to 40 times more potent than fentanyl, and there are various types, complicating identification and reversal. At Johns Hopkins, I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
Some people can't burp. The solution could be Botox. I'm Jackie Fortier, and this is your KFF Health News Minute.
Got it.
That's Lindsay Rosenthal's second burp ever. The 26-year-old is one of many who have turned to Botox for their abelchia, a fix that gained attention on social media. Not being able to burp can cause bloating and pain, but Botox isn't a cheap solution. Insurance companies often won't cover it, even for medical reasons. Shootings leave survivors struggling with mental health problems, but many parts of the country lack doctors to treat them. The recent school shooting at Appalachie High School in Georgia took place in a community that's especially short of providers. Problems like anxiety and panic attacks can take time to emerge and can stick with survivors for a long time. Resources have flooded in the wake of the Appalachie shooting, but when the attention fades, members of the community may still not be able to find longer-term treatment. Read more at kffhealthnews.org.
Build your vocabulary using AI. This is Soundbites, and I'm Alan Davidson. Learning a new language, strengthening your grasp of an old one. Either way, learn new words and remember them with Ling Quiz. That's LingQiz, a free AI-powered flashcard tool for building your active vocabulary fast. Ling Quiz supports 35 popular languages and dialects, training you with natural, native-sounding voices to ensure that you learn correct pronunciation. Then LingQuiz uses scientifically supported techniques to drill you on the words you've just learned and make sure that they stay firmly implanted in your memory. You'll learn new words, and more importantly, you'll remember those new words as your vocabulary grows more useful with every session. Sign up free at LingQuiz.com. With Soundbites, I'm Alan Davidson. For CBS News.
I'm Larry Magid with the Connect Safely Report. Former Silicon Valley entrepreneur Thor Moeller now lives in the relatively rural town of Ashland, Oregon, where he works with community members on artificial intelligence solutions that he says have a different focus than those from Silicon Valley.
People are focused on projects close to home, like restoring wilderness or dealing with challenges in the educational system or rethinking our food system. Well, if it's true here, it's probably true many other places as well.
Moeller recently helped organize a conference called Regen AI, focusing on the needs of people in the Rogue Valley of Southern Oregon. And I think he's on to something. Gathering people in local communities to talk about how technology can apply to their needs. More, including a podcast at connectsafely.org/radio. With the Connect Safely Report, I'm Larry Magid for CBS News.
As I got on a city bus and found a vacancy, I thought I saw my future bride walking up the street. Shouted to the driver, "Hey, conductor, you must slow down, I think I see her. Please let me off this bus." "Nadine, honey, is that you? Whoa, Nadine, honey, is that you? Every time I see you, you got something else to do." I saw her from the corner when she turned and doubled back and started walking toward a coffee-colored Cadillac. Pushing through
I guess you've heard that song about 10,000 times in your life.
Thank you so much.
You were born in Jersey City, New Jersey. One of your fellow New Jerseyans, I heard him in an interview once. He said, "You know, I've never seen, I might have been on 60 Minutes, said, I've never seen a coffee-colored Cadillac. Said, but when I see one, I'll know what it is." That man was Mr. Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, wow.
We love Bruce here, I can tell you that. He's always welcome to Middle Tennessee.
And I have to say, I'm one of the few Manhattanites in New York who loves country western music. And I went to the Grand Ole Opry last time I was here. You don't like it? I love it. I also love classic opera, the Metropolitan Opera. How's that for being eclectic and diverse in one's taste?
Folks, that'll be the end of this broadcast and probably the last time they'll let me on the air here with your country and western station and Ed Raymond. Okay, back to business at hand. But I did want to play that for
Thank
you.
Thank you. I'm so grateful.
I'll bet you are. Chuck should have sent you some royalties on that song. Mr. Barry is no longer with us, bless his heart. But that was a recording they did with Keith Richard and who else was it? Bobby Keys on sax. She used to play with the Stones. and all that bunch. I think that's the one where Chuck Berry hit Keith in the mouth because Keith wouldn't shut up. So he said a little too much. He used his freedom of speech a little bit.
I was going to say, that's a pretty brutal form of censorship.
All right. Ladies, where are we at? I mean, you know, I did read about the free press, mm-hmm. okay? Now, I have heard this since I was a kid, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you have to. Well, say the liberal press, you know, look, mm-hmm. Don't you think there's a reason that they want to get into some people's business? Now, I know we've got some people in the, quote, liberal press that take it a little far, you know. I mean, Michael Moore. Mm-hmm. Michael's a classic example. Good Michigan guy, good mm-hmm. Catholic kid. But I heard him talk to Sanjay Gupta on CNN when I said, just give everybody health care. It's free. It's mm-hmm. free. It is not free. Mm-hmm. And Sanjay was trying to tell him, said, Michael, this is not free. Yes, it is. It's free all over the world.
Well, you know, a basic point here, Ed, if I could interject, is sure. that we defend freedom of speech and of the press, notwithstanding whether we agree or disagree with how that freedom is being used. I may completely disagree with, hypothetically, how you sure. use your free speech rights to make points, sure. but I still will, to quote, well, Voltaire said it in the most classic form, I may disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say
right
it.
And
I also, in a democracy, it's really important for us to be critical readers. I was raised to never believe something just because you read it, just because you hear it, that we have a responsibility to do our own thinking and to be, you know, inquisitive and to look at different sure. sources and do our own investigations.
Right. We have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead, please.
How you doing, Mr. Raymond? How you doing?
Hello, is this Jeff?
Yeah, you know.
Hello, Jeff. How are you? Say hello to Miss Nadine Struss.
Miss Nadine, how you doing? Hope you're doing well. I'm glad you're in the area. I'm sure you know about our. I'm sure Mr. Rambers, told you about our book ban here in Rutherford County.
Yes, I've read about it.
Oh, all about that. They took 6 books off the shelves this week. Our school board did in the school library. So, and I just want to ask you all, guys. Yeah, I know. It's probably tired of me saying this, but when you start banning certain stuff, books or whatever it is, it's a slippery slope. I mean, you could ban anything, you could read anything, and it would say what it would say. I mean, it's like this. It's like what you think is obscene and what I think is obscene are 2 different things.
Exactly.
Or can be. And like I told you before, have you ever watched that film or read the book Fahrenheit 451?
I have not. You've asked me that before. I have not. Have you? Have you?
Have you read it? Have you seen it?
I can't hear him.
You can't hear it. Have you?
Oh yeah, I've read Fahrenheit 451. It's a great book.
Have you seen the movie?
Yes, I've seen the movie as well.
What'd you think about the last part when they're going around? What'd you think about that?
I'm so sorry. I don't remember it. I saw it so long ago.
The very end of the movie, they're going around and reciting the words to books. There's none left.
Oh, that they had memorized the words. Yes.
They memorized the words to books. They're reading them.
Okay.
Memorized them, and there's no books. They burned them all or banned them all. There's no
yes.
books left.
But you know what's so scary about Fahrenheit 451? I haven't seen the movie, but I did fairly recently reread the book, that it wasn't the pressures to burn books were not coming from government officials. It was initiated by individual citizens who then yep. put pressure on government officials like the firefighters to burn the books. And I think that's really important because today, I think from the left as well as from the right, we have so-called cancel culture, where it's social media mobs and other groups of just your fellow citizens who are making life miserable for certain ideas right. and for certain books.
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
I agree to that as well. I mean, I just think it's a slippery, like you said, a slippery slope when you're going to be this ain't Russia or China or like that. And I had a relative of mine, he went over to a country, Africa. It's been years ago. And of course, his biggest thing, he had to go there for his job. He said the biggest thing, he said the people over there were really lazy, they wouldn't work. And of course, most people go overseas, say when they come back to America, they're so glad to come back here.
That's exactly right.
Around and everything else like work. So what some of these people do that want to ban all this stuff, they need to go over to something like Africa, over to Africa or some other country like Vietnam, somewhere like that. And then they won't last a day over her. They won't last 12 hours. They'll be begging to get back in. They'll be like on that southern border trying to get back in. If I'm the Border Patrol, I'll tell them you ain't getting it back in. You done left already. You ain't getting back in.
Well, I have to say this because, you know, I'm a full-time crusader to make our country try to live up to its ideals. And we are the most important country and the first one that was founded on the ideals of liberty and justice for all. Of course, we were very, very far from honoring them, but we've gotten closer and closer over time. And that the First Amendment has played a big part in that. So even though there are terrible things that are happening, very often the ACLU and other organizations are able to, and individuals are able to bring lawsuits. That happened to one of the new laws in Tennessee, the prohibited concept law, which also is censoring school curricula. There was a lawsuit that was brought that the judge very recently allowed to go forward, and I think there's a very good chance that we will end up stopping it from being enforced.
Right. You already collect some money from our city, and I'm afraid you'll collect some more. You already collect some. You know what I'm talking about, the decency lawsuit. So you already collected some money, so you might be getting another check here pretty soon. Might be getting you another big fat one here. Accounts to keep liberties safe. But I applaud your organization for keeping our liberties safe. Like you say, America is an idea, not a what you call it. It's of course one of the greatest ideas in the world. Our founding fathers were as smart as anybody. And I'll just say this: I hope that if the lawsuit does go forward, that I hope you all can get these books back in the schools, because it's really important that these kids be able to listen to ideas or read them. If they don't want to, that's fine, but they should be able to. I mean, you shouldn't be able to have to go to a library and say, I can't check out To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's such a great point. You know, I mean, nobody is forced to read these books. It should be up to individual freedom of choice. And below a certain age, parents have not only a responsibility, but actually a constitutional right. The Supreme Court held more than 100 years ago that the Constitution protects a parent's right to make fundamental decisions about the values and education and upbringing of their own kids.
I appreciate it. I applaud your efforts, and I enjoy your show, Mr. Raymer. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff, so much. Friend of this station, friend of this broadcast. And, you know, folks, let me say, some of you that may be listening for the first time or two, I don't know, we're not talking about putting Playboy magazines in the library. Carrie, will you please reiterate that?
Playboy went out of publication anyway. You're out of it.
What do you mean?
Skin magazines or pornography in our libraries. Our librarians are highly educated, highly trained experts.
Some of the librarians are some of the best educated people in the school.
Well, yes, because they have to have a minimum of a master's degree that's been accredited.
Right.
But they know what they're doing. Librarians are trained to create a collection that meets the needs of their community.
Right.
They also know the laws. They know what's age appropriate. I think what's most upsetting about this, at least from what I've been hearing from people, is our librarians are feeling very disrespected. They're scared. They're hurt. People can be nasty to them.
I'm sure they're confused.
And confused because the materials being pulled, they believe in their heart of hearts they shouldn't be pulled. And one of the things that's come up recently is we have to draw a line somewhere. Where would they, I'm assuming they're referencing RCLA, draw that line? And I just want to say this again because I want everyone to hear it. RCLA doesn't want to draw a line. That is not our job. We are not the educated, trained experts to do that. Our job is to support the line that has been drawn by our librarians and the Supreme Court.
Exactly.
The line they've drawn right. is what we want enforced. We don't want what we want versus what you want. No, what the librarians say our children need access to.
Right.
And what the Supreme Court has said, you can't restrict access to this information. It's protected.
Yeah.
So that's all that RCLA is asking for. Just respect our librarians. No one becomes a librarian for the money.
Certainly not.
No,
certainly not.
They do it out of a love to serve their community.
And Carrie has said it so well. The Supreme Court did draw a line of a different sort that books may never be removed solely because somebody in the community, even the majority of the community or the majority of the board, dislikes or disagrees with the viewpoint. Or
exactly.
dislikes or disagrees with the author. The only relevant criteria, Carrie alluded to this, are age appropriateness and educational suitability.
Right.
And that's what the librarians are professionally expert in discerning.
Right. And is To Kill a Mockingbird still pulled from the shelves? I mean,
they haven't restricted access,
but it has happened in parts of the country.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Why? I mean, the wife and I looked at each other and I said, are we bad people? Did our parents raise us wrong? Our teachers required us, I think, to read To Kill a Mockingbird.
The reviews that are going out from the webpage that Moms for Liberty started, that Book Looks website, which they've copied the reviews here. A student has pointed out to me this weekend that although it's supposed to be about the sexual content, violence, and whatnot, they also add in, can't remember the exact verbiage, but if there's contemporary issues that we don't like whether it's about racism or equity and diversity or whatever, that rating that they do also takes into account, because a lot of books written about anti-racism, they say that because of the social issues in there and they mention race, that that's a knock against it. So it's up a level because of those issues instead of just the sexually explicit and violence.
But
so
sure.
Some of those.
This book illustrates a general point that I made earlier, that people all across the ideological spectrum are equally culpable of targeting sometimes the very same work for very different reasons.
Yep.
So in some very blue parts of the country, To Kill a Mockingbird
right.
has been attacked because it depicts the actual historical reality that existed, including the use of racial epithets. And some
right.
progressives have argued that this falls into the white savior pattern, and that because the lawyer Atticus Finch is white, and so that's offensive to their progressive values. And another example of a book that has been attacked for very different reasons but for across the ideological spectrum is Huckleberry Finn, has been attacked because it's from the right, because insubordination, disrespect of parents, child running away, violating the law, but from the left, because of the depiction of the slave, enslaved Jim, who is always described with the racial epithet.
Exactly, yeah. The N-word.
And J.K. Rowling is another example, because mm-hmm. Harry Potter books forever were attacked from the right because mm-hmm. witchcraft was evil and, again, disrespect of authority. But now it's attacked from the left because the author is taking positions that are on transgender issues and feminist issues that are very unpopular with certain progressive people.
I had the conversation recently with someone in education about Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because
Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, the language is, there is very inappropriate language in Little House on the Prairie. I personally don't say the words that are in there, so I would not like to repeat them at the moment, but there are inappropriate words, and a teacher's like,
By today's standards, yes, but it's showing history.
But that's what I'm saying.
And the educator's like, so what do I do? Do I keep it? Do I get the cleaner version? Like, what do I do? And I'm like, right. Well, you're the educator. You know what grade these are for. You know what they can handle, what discussions you're going to have with them. That's not my decision to make. That's your decision to make. So they're sort of on the fence, like, should I keep or should I provide Little House in the Prairie in the original format, or should I get a newer version of the book that has removed some of the offensive language?
Well, I don't think, I mean, you know, we've read these books when Nadine and I were born back in the last century. That sounds so good, doesn't it? I mean, it was required literature.
But some people would say, well, classes. Look how badly you turned out. You turned into civilitarians.
Yeah. They gave you that Harvard Law. What, did you just mail in that Harvard Law degree? I'm sure.
No, I That's got like, it before you could get it from the internet.
Yeah, I bet. Sure, yeah. I mean, I got it. We've got a good friend said, well, he's a lawyer because his daddy's a lawyer. He had all those connections. Let me tell you something. You go take that bar exam, I don't imagine daddy's allowed to go in there and sit by his side. Okay, you have to pass the bar. And it's something I'll never – it's all theoretical with me. I'll never do it. But as I've told many of our candidates, I admire anyone that puts their name on a ballot, regardless of what they're running for. I will never put my name on a ballot. That's just not going to happen here. So I think I can be of more service here than I can here behind a microphone than anywhere else. But, okay, you are here. You weren't here. She didn't fly all the way in here just to be on the Edward Lee Ramer Show, folks. We don't pay that good.
That was an extra attraction that got me here.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. If Frank told you, he's funny, you'll love him, you know. He's here all week, you know. Tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. to 11:20, you're going to be at the Keith Lee University Center on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University. And this is a free...
Open to the public.
Open to the public.
And I am going to be interviewed by Dr. Frank Lambert. He'll ask me a few questions. I don't know what the questions are going to be, but I really prefer to have a dialogue discussion format rather than giving a conventional lecture. So I asked Frank to ask some opening questions about free speech principles and controversies, and then open it up to the audience, for members of the audience to ask me. So the title of the talk actually says it all. Everything you wanted to know about your free speech rights but were afraid to ask.
Free speech rights.
Everybody's. It's
right.
You know, Frank was playing off a book that I wrote, which was published last year, called Free Speech, What Everyone Needs to Know. And it's in question and answer format.
Right.
That's
what gets me. As I told you first come in, I came from a family of ministers, okay? I've heard a lot of ministers say a lot of... I've heard ministers back in the 70s use the N-word, as we were talking a while ago, in a pulpit. Now, that was in the 70s, late 60s, early 70s, okay. And they stand up and talk about, as you all are called, the America's Crazy Lawyers Association, Union, or whatever it is, ACLU. I said, yeah, and they're the very organization that defends your right to stand in that pulpit on a Sunday morning and gives a preacher, a priest, a rabbi, anyone, a monk, whoever it may be, whatever faith you wish, to go over here to Muslim, to the temple, and worship any way you wish. I don't know about the rest of you, but that's a pretty big deal to me.
It is. And we've had a lot of religious liberty and religious free speech cases.
Right.
Believe it or not, there are some, I'm saying that somewhat sarcastically, there are some deeply held religious beliefs that are very controversial in many communities in this country. So
yeah.
On college campuses, for example, the pro-life position, anti-abortion position that is espoused by many Christians, is attacked as hate speech, or mm-hmm. some religions that interpret certain Bible verses as outlawing LGBT sexuality. I disagree with that view, but I certainly defend the right of people to have the belief and to express the belief and to propagate the belief. But again, on many campuses, that is attacked as hate speech. And the First Amendment and those of us who defend it, including the ACLU, are right. often coming to the defense of conservative Christian, conservative political views.
Right, right. You know, you mentioned you're going to be speaking tomorrow, and Frank's going to open up for you, I believe. And you do not know what the questions are.
No.
I will tell you that Frank is out there, and I normally would not do this, but Carrie, I peeked at his notes, and he's going to make some opening remarks. And folks, I'm going to tell you, if you'll go to this thing, you're going to hear 3.5 to 4 hours of the best speaking you've ever heard.
In a program that lasts an hour. That's yeah. quite, we'll be talking very fast.
Well, that's before they turn it over to you, Nadine. Right.
I just want to add in, since we're talking about the event tomorrow, you can also attend virtually. And so if you look online, things have gone out. There are invitations with a link so that you can join virtually and still in the little chat put your questions in. The purpose of Nadine's visit is really to come here and clarify things, answer questions that people are curious
right,
about.
Yeah.
She doesn't have like some agenda, I'm going to talk about X, Y, or Z.
Sure,
she's here
sure.
to answer the questions that the people that live here want to know.
Sure.
So okay. if you can't physically get there, you can still attend the virtual session.
Very good. We're going to go to our last series of breaks. Miss Tiffany's going to take us to that. Miss Nadine Strawson is with us. Carrie Lambert's here. I'm Ed Raymer. Back with you right after this. Stay with us. Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com. Thank you very much. We're in the middle of a fight here.
it's called a discussion.
Thank you, Nadine.
You know, I and Ms. Strawson, I'll tell you right now, you are exactly right. I agree with you on everything. But a good friend of mine, Bill Wilson, who used to have a broadcast up here, used to be with us. We used to do a show together. And he had a saying. It was so true, and especially for these times. We must agree to disagree agreeably.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I've found a few people in my life that you can just say, you mm-hmm. know, I'm sorry, I just don't agree with you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay.
I was very good friends with Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who was the most conservative justice.
They
on
say,
the Supreme
well,
Court
I'd heard he was,
time,
yes.
And had a very narrow view of civil liberties. So we debated each other around the world. And as a result of that, became very good friends because we had mutual respect despite the disagreements and learned from each other. I think we each changed each other's minds on some questions, and it was
or at least
very
opened
enriching.
The avenue to look to examine it and see, you know. And, you know, did he not, he and Justice
Ginsburg,
they went to the opera together,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, she was also, and I'm very proud that when I stepped down as ACLU president, both Justice Scalia and Justice Ginsburg and Justice Souter, who was more of a moderate justice,
yeah.
All three were kind enough to come and speak at my retirement ceremony. And I thought that showed something that reflected to me well on the ACLU as well, that, you know, they weren't making distinctions based on ideology. They respected the neutral, even-handed defense of
civil liberties. That leads me right into the next time I was getting ready to ask you. Are you retired, or do you?
I stepped down as the ACLU president many years ago, but I'm still on the ACLU National Advisory Council. I stopped full-time teaching in 2019 precisely so I could become a full-time crusader for free speech. I do nothing but speak and write and travel all across the country, in many other countries as well, because we're seeing these same issues, including the campus protests and the attacks on books, and in countries all over the world, not just the authoritarian countries, but Canada, where Kerry is from, and other democracies as well.
Well, and I've said with the Ukraine situation, I truly believe this with all my heart. Those young men over there are fighting. Most, I say men, because it is mostly men that are fighting in this conflict, this war over there with this nut from Russia. Because their parents and grandparents have pulled them aside and said, hey, you want to live like that? If they're a grandparent, they can say, I lived under that most of my life. Mm-hmm. And now Russia, Ukraine has not been a country for just over 30 years now.
Yeah.
And they're saying, you better be sure of what you're doing here, because you better fight for it, because we've had what's called a democracy here, and we kind of like this.
You know, and on the free speech issues, at a couple of countries that I've spoken in recently, until not so long ago, were under blatantly oppressive regimes where free speech just didn't exist at all. And I find the thirst for free speech and the defense of free speech especially passionate there. One example is the Czech Republic, which was behind the Iron Curtain, part of the Soviet domain. And people are so excited about free speech there. And in May, I was in Taiwan, which until not too long ago had martial law and is also very afraid of the Chinese threats. And so, again, there's a passion for free speech that, you know, in some
they yearn for it.
Yeah. In some ways, Kerry and I were talking about this, the silver lining to the cloud of book banning, not only here but also all over the country, is that it is raising the consciousness, in particular, of our young students not to take free speech for granted. And they're speaking up and they're standing up and they're having an impact.
Absolutely.
Sure. And, you know, and I would say this too. I heard a reporter or someone say, you know, Kamala Harris right now, and there's been a lot of energy pumped into the Democrat Party, more than I've seen, more than me and you have seen in a long time, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and one reporter said, listen, let's remember, she's not running. She's running to be president. She's not running to be perfect. She's got some issues that even the Democrats, wait a minute, you know, I don't know about. Well, you know, but man, I'll tell you, this vice presidential candidate, and now you were born in.
I grew up in Minnesota. So you're going to associate me with Tim Walz.
Tim, and he's now. See,
I love the fact that he was an educator, but the ACLU is a strictly nonpartisan organization.
I know. I don't mean to drag you into that. Yeah. I don't mean that. Yeah. But I do like his motto, you know, just mind your own darn business. You know?
Absolutely. That's a good quote.
You know, that could be a classic conservative line, too, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. to the conservative. Yeah, I'm just look me up.
I mean, like Ronald Reagan, who was revered, used to be revered among conservative and Republicans.
Oh, bless his heart.
Basically said, you know, get the government off our backs. I would say also get it out of our bodies and out of our homes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole different. You know, I've quoted this many times, especially here during election season. I told you, when we hit, and Carrie can tell you now, having lived here a while. When we hit about August in election year, that's when it gets hot up here, okay? Mm-hmm. And I quote this often. One of our greatest statesmen from the great state of Tennessee, who happened to be a Republican, was Howard Baker.
Yeah.
And he said many times, you know, you might want to listen to the other guy every once in a while, because he might actually be right.
You know what? And there's a school at one of the campuses of the University of Tennessee, a school for civic discourse and engagement and respectful dialogue that is named after Howard Baker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Where do you go after tomorrow? Do you have anything else? You got something set up?
I have every single day I'm speaking. So the next event is at Northern Michigan University, back in my old stomping ground of the Great Lakes. And next week I'm speaking at Columbia University in New York. And after that I'm speaking at Boston University. I mean, every day.
You're loving retired life. I'm sure your husband loves it, too.
Well, you know, both of us stopped full-time teaching so that we could pursue other activities that we want to spend the last chapter of our lives on. So he loves scholarship and writing. He's doing more of that than ever. For me, speaking has always been my favorite medium. I love teaching. I love my students.
Sure.
But now I consider myself teaching to different audiences all over the country. And I, whenever I speak on campus, I always volunteer, in addition to the talk, to do a class visit. So I am speaking in a class tomorrow, Tiffany. I'm sorry it's not your class, but it's
Tiffany's
another class.
Well, Tiffany is going to be there, and I'm going to tell you right now, her head can be like a piece of steel. You just keep pounding that podium. And she'll get it, okay? She'll get it. I'm picking on you. I'm picking on you. We are so glad you're here. I'm going to thank you. One of the first to welcome you to Murfreesboro,
thank
I guess. You. And have a nice stay and do a great talk tomorrow. Carrie, I know you'll be there probably, I guess. And, you know, Carrie, what do you got coming up? When's our next meeting?
Oh, well, there's Nadine's presentation tomorrow, of course. And then there's an event at MTSU at 4:30 on Wednesday. And I'm trying to look it up so I get the right name of it. And it's not right there. But there's an event at MTSU at 4:30 for our educators to sort of understand what's going on, what the laws are about their collections, what they can keep, not keep, what's age appropriate, what's obscene, all of those sort of issues, because it's Banned Books Week. And then TASL, the Teachers Tennessee Association of School Librarians, is having their conference this weekend. So
very good.
I'm going to that on Friday. And then I'm going to look up and maybe take a little breather and see what's next.
Okay. All right. Ms. Nadine Strawson, former president of the ACLU, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for staying here. And keeping up the great work.
There's
week
no
after
guarantee
week.
That I'll be here next week, but I hope I am. Ladies and gentlemen, for Ms. Nadine Strawson, Carrie Lambert, and Tiffany on the board even, thank you for listening. And until next Sunday at 8 o'clock, I'll catch you down the road. Good night, everybody.